This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 9 minutes after six on this Wednesday morning. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. And with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting out with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, corn for May finished down a quarter to 371 and a quarter. July corn was unchanged at 380 and three quarters, and September corn remained unchanged at 387 and a half. May soybeans were down 1 3/4 cents to 904. July beans were down 1 3/4 cents as well to 917 and a half. And August beans were at 923 and three quarters, also down 1 3/4. Wheat for May was down a quarter cent to 456 and a half. July wheat was down 0.75 cents to 362 and three quarters. And September wheat was down 0.75 cents to 471 and a quarter. Soybean meal for May was up $1 to 310.80 per ton. July soybean meal was up 80 cents to 314.30 per ton. And August bean meal was up 90 cents to 315.90. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 20 cents to 29.24. July bean oil was also down 20 cents to 29.56. And August soybean oil was down 21 cents to 29.69. And at this time, we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Tuesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend for the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Tuesday afternoon on a low-volume day at the Board of Trade as traders wait for some fresh fundamental news. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down a penny at 326 to 347. Soy bids are up 1 to 2 cents at 832 to 862. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 334 to 354. Soy bids were down 2 to 3 cents at 836 to 867. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down a penny at 334 to 365. Soybean bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 850 to 883. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to down 2 cents at 866 to 884. Basis is steady to up 2 at 38 under to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 286 80 to $300.80 a ton, up a dollar a ton with basis unchanged at 2400 at 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady to 2 cents higher at 352 to 365 with basis steady to up 2 at 1900 to 6 under the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted in producing corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 353 to 359. Well, basis down 2 to 3 at 1800 to 12 under the May. Soybeans ended down 8 to 10 cents at 863 to 872, with basis down 6 to 8 at 41 under to 32 under the May. New crop wheat prices are down a penny at 433 to 461, with basis steady at 30 under to 2 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 4 to 5 cents lower at 375 to 376. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 12 to 13 cents, quotations at 887 to 888. So if we close steady at 484 to 485, Milo ended the day down a penny at 406 to 412. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 340 to 365, soybeans at 855 to 883. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 335 to 370, and soybeans at 869 to $9, June-July wheat in the southern part of the state at 438 to 463, and in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 350 to 366, soybeans at 875 to 898. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for April were up 80 cents to 129.12. June live cattle were up 15 cents to 122.72. And August live cattle were up 62 cents to 118.72. Feeder cattle for March were up 60 cents to 142.25. April feeders were at 147.80, up $1.50. And May feeders were up $2.20 to 150.52. Finally, lean hogs for April lost 20 cents down to 70.82 per head. May lean hogs were down 52 cents to 79.15. And June lean hogs were at 87.25, down 55 cents. And now we'll move on to the Illinois and U.S. Departments of Agriculture for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.20 higher in a range of $52 to $60 with the weighted average carcass price of $57.46. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are a dollar higher with light to moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 28 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 31 to 36, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 40, over 600 pounds at 38 to 44. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points were a dollar higher with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from 31 to 39. Receipts for Illinois barrows and guts totaled 22,220. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 344.83 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $74.14, which was $1.75 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and selected beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $229.33, which is a dollar higher, with select carcasses at $219.46, which is $1.25 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $120,000 compared to $120,000 for last week and $119,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $467,000 compared to $477,000 for last week and $467,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Fairview Sale Barn Auction results. Total receipts of $350,000 compared to last week's. Slaughter steers sold $1.75 to $2 lower. Slaughter heifers traded steady. Slaughter cows sold $2 to $4 lower. Slaughter bulls sold $2 higher. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice $2 to $4 sold in a range of $122.50 to $130. Slaughter Holstein steers choice 2 to 3 sold in a range of 85 to 90. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 126 to 130.25. Slaughter cows with average dressing premium sold in a range of 85 to 95. Breakers sold in a range of 51.50 to 62. Boners sold in a range of 50 to 60.50. Lean sold in a range of 36 to 46.50. Slaughter bulls sold in a range of 74 to 84.50. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the CNB Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by CHS Farmer Owned with Global Connections. 22 minutes after 6, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. A major trade deal with China remains elusive, despite daily predictions one may be close. President Trump remains optimistic he'll clinch an economically and politically important trade deal with China, though he threatened last week to walk away from a bad deal. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, under pressure from Democrats, is holding his cards close to the vest on whether the U.S. will wait until China ends unfair trade practices before lifting tariffs on Chinese goods.
Well, I would say that's the subject of negotiation, so I'm not going to get into it here in public. But I do agree with you that we have to have real progress, and we have to maintain the right to be able to, whatever happens to the current tariffs, to raise tariffs in situations where there's violations of the agreement.
The U.S. has imposed tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods so far, as China has retaliated on $110 billion of U.S. goods, much of it U.S. soybeans and pork. Lighthizer concedes it's taking a toll.
We've seen an unfortunate decline in farm income with some bumps of basic decline for a long period of time, and it's something that has to be reversed. And if we end up with a deal on China, and if we end up with a deal, at least an agricultural deal at an early time with Japan, I think there's a bright light on the horizon for agriculture.
Lighthizer told Senate finance lawmakers a deal with China will open up a lot of agricultural sales, though agriculture complains. So much has already been lost, including possible future market share. So the question now is, when will a deal come?
I don't know when something's going to happen. Something's either we're either going to have a good result, or we're going to have a bad result before too long. But I'm not setting a specific time frame, and it's not up to me. I'll work as hard as I can, and the president will tell me when the time is up, or the Chinese will.
President Trump earlier dangled the prospect of an end of March summit with China's Xi Jinping, but now suggests the timeline could slip, some reports say, into June. In other national news, the Department of Agriculture Monday announced $91 million in investments to rural community facilities. The facilities included in the funding announcement provided essential services for nearly 300,000 rural residents in 12 states. The USDA is funding 16 projects through the Community Facilities Direct Loan Program. The funding helps rural small towns, cities, and communities make infrastructure improvements and provide essential facilities such as public schools, libraries, courthouses, public safety facilities, hospitals, colleges, and daycare centers. Acting Assistant to the Secretary for Rural Development, Joel Baxley, called modern community facilities key drivers of economic improvement. The projects are located in Alabama, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, North Carolina, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. More than 100 types of projects are eligible for the community facilities funding. Eligible applicants include municipalities, public bodies, nonprofit organizations, and federally recognized Native American tribes. Applicants and projects must be in rural areas with population of 20,000 or less. In local news, a team of FFA members and students from Taylorville recently won the National Western FFA Livestock Judging Contest. The five students on the team now get to go to Scotland to compete in an international livestock judging contest. State Senator Andy Menar says their win shows the value of ag education.
I'm told that the competition is quite intense and requires a depth of knowledge about livestock as well as skills in reasoning, problem-solving, preparation, public speaking, and thinking on your feet. And this is what I like to stress with agriculture education. It's not just about the traditional things that many of us think of.
Now the student judging team needs to adapt to how livestock are judged across the pond. They will start evaluating beef, cattle, sheep, swine, and goats, but the breeds will be new to them, says Eric Schaefer.
We don't know quite what the difference is. I know I've heard from a couple people that went over that they have quite a bit of different priorities than what we do. But I guess one of the challenges is going to be they have a kind of a intro to some of the kids that are from out of country over there, and I guess kind of learning what they're going to be looking for on the day of the contest and hopefully being able to do pretty well.
The students will spend about a week in Scotland, a week in Ireland, and a few days in London. The contest starts on June 20th. In other local news, state conservationist Ivan Dozier announced the U.S. Department of Agriculture Natural Resources Conservation Service will offer funding in the Macoupin County for the Upper Macoupin Creek Watershed Project through the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. The NRCS partners with the American Farmland Trust to help producers address resource concerns such as degraded water quality and soil erosion. The NRCS's RCPP funding is available to Macoupin County producers whose land is located in the Upper Macoupin Creek watershed. To take advantage of this conservation funding opportunity, interested producers should submit applications by the cutoff dates of April 19th and May 17th. Producers can apply for assistance through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program to implement practices such as drainage water management, denitrifying bioreactors, saturated buffers, cover crops, nutrient management, and no-till. To apply, eligible producers should contact the NRCS Carlinville Field Office in Carlinville by phone at 854-2626, extension 3, And the NRCS encourages producers to submit applications at any time to the NRCS Carlinville field office because they are accepted throughout the year. Also, the Macoupin County Agricultural Education Foundation is offering one $1,500 scholarship, one $1,000 scholarship, and seven $500 scholarships for the upcoming 2019-2020 school year. The MCAE Foundation offers the scholarships in an effort to provide encouragement and financial assistance to residents and or students of Macoupin County schools who display well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activities, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating senior or a current college student who plans to attend an Illinois institution of higher learning. Applications are available through high school guidance counselors, ag instructors, or the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. An electronic copy of the application can be requested by contacting the Macoupin County Farm Bureau at 854-2571 or by email at mcfb@frontiernet.net. All applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau by this Friday, March 22nd. And finally, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders has teamed up with Victory Lane Ford and Walmart in Litchfield for the Fill a Ford food drive that will be held this Saturday, March 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Litchfield Walmart. Donations will go to local food banks, and monetary donations are also accepted. For this Wednesday morning, March 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.